When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famine and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify." So speaking of testifying, we have an extra special treat today. Our very own senior warden, Tom Streenan. Tom, come on up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, not particularly comfortable being in the spotlight. I keep asking myself, why am I up here? When Father Jeff first approached me about doing this, I said, no way. Well, here I am, and I'll tell you what changed my mind. I was inspired by one of the speakers at last month's diocesan convention in Las Vegas. As she spoke about her life story, Carrie Headington described her bouts of depression and lack of self-worth and her ultimate victory over these impairments through her faith in God. She said that 93% of regular churchgoers don't have a radical conversion story. Here is my story. I was the oldest of four siblings raised in a typical post-war home with a stay-at-home mom and a dad who worked long hours to support his family and be able to take us on a two-week vacation once a year. Being interested in science, my parents made sure I had chemistry sets, microscopes, telescopes, erector sets, and ham radio gear. I later received a degree in engineering and spent my career designing electronic equipment. A young lass from England came my way in 1975 and became a love of my life 4 months later. Isabel and I have two children. Our son is an officer on a submarine, and our daughter is an alcoholic who continues to have challenges. Life is like that. It keeps us humble. 4 years ago, Isabel and I rediscovered St. Peter's Church and its wonderful clergy. Betty came up to us and immediately made us feel at home. Back then, and even sometimes now, I am unsure about many faith-based traditions. My engineering background, which dictates that claims should be measurable, quantifiable, and reproducible, has a problem with a person walking on water given the low viscosity of water. But there was something about the people at St. Peter's that kept us coming back. Our congregation is a loving, non-judgmental group that even has a place for a skeptic like me. I no longer cringe when we do the hugging during service. Progress is being made. Maybe I don't have a direct connection yet with the divine, but I am certainly touched by him through you. I continue to be interested in the secular aspects of religion and recently came across an article that shows regular church attendance leads to a longer, healthier life. Quoting from that report, a Harvard University study done over a 20-year period shows that people who attend church regularly have a significantly lower risk of dying over the next decade. The results have been replicated in enough studies to be considered quite reliable. And for non-church attending individuals, this research provides an invitation to reconsider what religion can do for them. Those who attend are less likely to smoke, are more optimistic, and have lower rates of depression. Other studies have found that churchgoers have a greater purpose in life. that may also affect health. The research has shown that service attendance rather than private spirituality strongly predicts health. Something about communal religious participation appears to be essential. In conclusion, where else do we find a community with a shared moral and spiritual vision, a sense of accountability, where the central task of members is to love and care for one another? Amen.
Tom has testified. No, I actually, Dick, I can't top that. In fact, if I was smart, I'd just shut up and keep moving. But let me just say a few words, kind of tie some things that Tom shared into our gospel today. This passage from the gospel according to Luke is part of what's called an apocalypse. I mean, they're talking about the end time, and in particular, this is a reference to the temple in Jerusalem, and it sounds like Jesus is predicting that the whole thing is going to crumble. When you look at the era in which this gospel was written, in the middle of the second century of the Common Era, you immediately realize this is not a prediction. It has done happened. The temple has been destroyed. And not only that, but Jerusalem has been destroyed, been razed to the ground. People's livelihoods have been disrupted. Families have been torn apart. Local economies have been completely shanghaied by the global economy of Imperial Rome. I mean, things are just a mess. And these people, again, this is not a prediction, they're in trouble. They are living at risk. And more importantly, they are being hunted down and they are being killed for following Jesus and for being Jewish as well, for that matter. I mean, Imperial Rome sort of, you know, didn't play favorites. Anybody who didn't play ball, you know, was going to get literally crucified. So, but still, you know, they're talking about the end time as things begin to disintegrate in their lives. And here we are, lo and behold, following our election, which perhaps some could consider the elephant in the room. And let's just kind of put it out there. Whether you think of this election as the apocalypse or the second coming is ultimately, in light of the gospel, of little or no consequence. And that's not to say that our feelings aren't important, because I am now experiencing and witnessing and with people who are angry, hurt, scared, in some cases even terrified, and just like the ancient ones that are being referenced in this gospel passage, we know intuitively that we're in trouble. I mean, if there was any question about the nature of the election and how unbelievably ugly it got, we know we're in trouble. Maybe not the kind of trouble that they were in back in the second century, the first and second centuries of the Common Era. I mean, so far, no one's hunting us down, persecuting us, threatening to kill us. That may change. Who knows? I mean, that's part of the fear that some people are living in. Be that as it may, whether you view this election as the apocalypse or the second coming, Jesus is very clear in this passage about the invitation to follow him, and it sounds like this. One, he says, don't be getting all excited about the fear mongers, and in particular, don't be following them, because it's not going to help you very much. And ultimately, he says, you know, as threats are issued or things begin to change and that fear or that anxiety begins to well up in us, his message is basically the same message that I received from my spiritual director many, many years ago, which is feel what you feel and be kind. And this is the basic message of the gospel. And just in case, because I tried this out for about 24 hours this past week and failed pretty miserably. I mean, I thought, okay, I'll just rise above it all. You know, I'll just find my groove so that I won't be affected by anything that's going on. I ran across this quote. And the days began to walk, and they, the days, made us. And thus we were born, the children of the days, the discoverers, life's searchers. Oddly enough, that comes from the Genesis story of the ancient Mayan culture. The implication of which is, just when we think we're going to rise above it all, forget it. You know, I mean, we're all products of, you know, our common life. And so, again, this may be good news or bad news for you, but the bottom line is there is no rising above it. We're in it together. So, when Jesus talks about, you know, being dragged before and the opportunity that that presents, you and I are given a wonderful opportunity to testify in our own way, just like Tom did moments ago, and that is to tell our story, to tell the truth about who we are, to feel whatever it is we're feeling, whether we see this election as the apocalypse or the second coming, it doesn't matter. Feel what you feel and be kind. Be kind to yourself, be kind to the people around you, and here's the big challenge, be kind to those who may differ in opinion from you. Are you with me?
Yep.
I'm going to do my darndest. I invite you to join in and do the same.